Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Why were you singing?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm tired.
Elena is going to try out for American Idol.
No, I was singing earlier today. Chase, my nephew, he was here and he was driving me crazy. So I just started singing. La, 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 la. And so then he started singing. I was like, okay, this is what we're doing today. So I'm just going to keep it going.
I was jamming out to Incubus in the car. Yeah, I'm still talking about it.
Oh.
Okay. But every song on Morning View is a hit. I mean, you have I Wish You Were Here, Aqueous Transmission, Echoes, Mexico. I could go on.
Okay.
This is now an Incubus
Why don't you sing us a song?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, was that trying to be Mariah Carey?
Yeah.
Oh.
In her, present day, she apparently can't sing anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mariah.
Oh, Mariah. You really were in your prime, weren't you, back then? All right. The case I have for you is just gross. It's sad. It's terrible. You're not going to imagine who the murderer is. You're just not.
Why do you do this to us?
I'm sorry. I saw this girl's beautiful face. I was actually looking at another case and I came across her and I was like, you precious angel.
Oh, wow. Aw.
So her name is spelt Shilie, S-H-I-L-I-E.
Oh.
But in interviews and things, her family and friends called her Shelly.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to call her Shelly because that seems right. Okay.
For sure.
This is the murder of Shelly Turner. Now, everyone who knew Shelly Turner said that she was destined to be a star. So when she didn't show up for her really, really important track meet on January 17th, 1993, her coach and fellow running mates were very concerned. She wouldn't have been late, let alone miss it altogether. No one could have imagined that the person responsible for Shelly's disappearance would be the last person anyone would ever suspect.
Oh.
Now, Shelly Lachey Turner was born March 15th, 1975 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She was described by her best friend, Andrea, as being more mature than average 17-year-olds. She lived and grew up in Philadelphia with her mom, stepdad, and her 10-year-old little sister. But she was pretty much in charge of her little sister, like making sure she ate breakfast and got ready for school and, you know, doing her homework and even making sure she ate dinner, stuff like that. Shelly also had all her own things going on. She was a high school student at William Penn High School. She was
a high school student?
Sometimes it slips.
Yeah, I heard it.
She was a very good student. And she was a standout on the track team. There's this legend about the track team at William Penn High School. Apparently, way back when the coach formed the track team, there was no track at the school, like no actual track for them to run. So he used the sidewalks around the school. Luckily, years later, when Shelly joined the team, they did get a track.
Cool.
But it just kind of speaks to the culture of the track team. Coach Hickey making something out of nothing and giving these girls a purpose and something to strive for.
I love that.
Me too. Now, I've seen videos of her running, and man, oh man, the legs on that girl.
Ooh.
I mean, she would glide across the track.
Like a gazelle?
Like a gazelle. That's in my notes. And even when she was like a few positions behind somebody, she'd extend those pins out full length and it would just carry her forward like a gazelle. She excelled in the 400 and 800 meters as well as the sprint relays. And to that I say, better you than me, girlfriend. Okay.
Yeah.
She was getting recruitment offers from Clemson and Auburn University. And people knew if she wanted to take her talent all the way to the Olympics, she could do that and she would do that.
Yeah.
Now, as a senior, every track meet was important to Shelley. They were stepping stones for the next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the next. And it would culminate into the end of the season. But when Shelley didn't turn up to the most important meet mm-hmm. of the season, the concern for her safety only worsened when her coach learned that Shelley's mom hadn't even seen her since the night before.
Oh my gosh.
So she left her house telling her mom that she was going to a friend's house just across the street, which was her best friend, Andrea. And then from there, they were going to the high school dance.
Hmm.
Now, Shelley's mom, Vivian King, was very concerned because she too said that whatever Shelley got up to the night before, she definitely wouldn't miss track.
Yeah.
Like, no way. She prioritized it. So she called police right away after learning that Shelley didn't make it to her meet. Police soon came to speak with Vivian and she told them that they could start with Andrea across the street.
Okay.
Andrea McCall, the friend that Shelley was supposed to be with the night before. Maybe Shelley overslept, worst case scenario, she thought. Maybe she was hurt and physically couldn't leave the house, or she was sick or whatever. Across the street.
Yeah.
Anyway, this too would be a dead end because Andrea told police, about last night, Shelley did come over, but she then left my house to go see her boyfriend, Sean.
Oh.
You know that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Andrea said Shelley was not meant to be gone that long because she just wanted to go see her boyfriend, get back, get some rest for the meet. That was important to her. That was on her mind. And Andrea recalled in an interview for Oxygen's Buried in the Backyard that Shelley turned up to her house wearing a sweatsuit, like this jankety sweatsuit, some like mismatched jacket. And when she got there, she was like, girl, you do not plan to go to the dance.
Yeah.
I know you're not here to get ready to go to the dance. And Shelley was like, look, there's no way my mother would let me go see Sean. So I told her I was going to be at your house.
Just go along with
and it. And that's what friends do for each other. Right. They're like, I got you, girl. So you go have fun and you be safe. But she's like, you can't go like that. So let me go see what I have in my closet. So she actually went in her dad's closet and got this really nice black leather jacket.
Oh.
To put on her to add a little swag to the sweatsuit, I guess.
Oh my goodness, how cute.
Plus it was freezing outside and she's like, you know, you've got to wear something warmer. Andrea said when Shelley left her house to go see Sean, that was the last time she saw her. Now, Shelley's relationship with her boyfriend Sean Williams was fairly new. He'd recently transferred to their school and they hit it off right away. He told police that Shelley did come over. They hung out and were having a great time. And before they knew it, it was like 1:30 a.m.
Uh-oh.
And Shelley's like freaking out.
Oh.
She's like, I've got to get home. I've got a track meet in the morning and I've got to go. So he walked her to the bus stop and watched her get on the bus to head home. Now, it was said that it was too cold. She didn't want to wait for the next bus to come along. You know how bus routes have different stops and everything. So she got on bus 15. I assume, I don't know this and it wasn't reported anywhere, but I assume that maybe that one just had a longer way to go around to get her home, potentially.
Okay.
Which is why they mentioned she took the first bus because it was so cold. The bus driver verified that she did get on that bus and he dropped her off at 60th and Girard around 2 a.m.
Girl.
And she got off the bus alone to walk in the direction of her house. Now, I'm sure the police had a lump in their throat. The other thing about her getting on that first bus was the drop off. The bus stop for her to get home was another 6 blocks.
Oh.
So it wasn't dropping her off right by her house.
Yeah. She just started walking towards. She just was like,
I'm just going to get there in the vicinity and I'll walk the rest of the way. Police were concerned because the street she got dropped off at was considered a really bad part of town. And she was, like I said, still 6 blocks away from her house. So she still had a bit of walking to go home before she got safe. That area of 60th and Girard had recent crime with girls being abducted and raped. And I bet investigators felt like they were going down that path again. Like right. This is just another one of those girls. There was a lot of abandoned, tattered homes in the area where indigents would camp out. But maybe Shelley got tired or cold, so she just went inside and fell asleep. Yeah, she might have been really close to home, so why would she do that? But you've got a missing girl. You have to think of all these different scenarios. Okay. And if you don't, you're stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, she wouldn't do that. Well, what if it was an outlier and she did?
Right. You know? Stranger things have happened.
But they checked. They checked all those homes. They checked the streets. They found no trace of Shelley in any of the homes or along the route she would have taken to get home. Nothing. Not so much as a sighting of her after she got off the bus. Now, Shelley's mother, Vivian, was on the news every chance she got, pleading for Shelley's safe return. The community rallied around her as she talked to countless TV stations, radio stations, and newspapers, so that her daughter would not just be another African-American girl that was missing in Philadelphia. Just another statistic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Andrea couldn't help but feeling somewhat guilty about Shelley's disappearance. Like, I shouldn't have let her go.
Aww,
or
girl.
I shouldn't have let her go alone. Or I should have arranged to meet her at the bus stop and walked her home, you know? She's just racking her brains of all these what ifs.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Exactly. Yeah. The only thing she could really do now is to help search for her friend. She organized foot searches with other friends. They were looking in all the abandoned homes, even though it had already been searched. They were screaming her name, just praying that she was somewhere and could hear them calling out for her. You know, in their innocent minds, these high school girls, I mean, they weren't thinking of the actual trouble she could be in. Now, the community came together and raised over $6,000 for information leading to bringing Shelley home. And because of that, a flood of tips came in. You might be thinking, $6,000, that's not a lot. You have to remember this is the 90s and this is a not great neighborhood. Yeah. So that was a lot of money for back then and for them. And that's just a testament to how much they cared for Shelley and really wanted her home. But no one had anything useful to say in those tips. They were still coming up empty. It was, oh, I think I saw her, but it led to nothing. Now, a couple weeks after Shelley had been missing, Vivian King said to police, you know, you ought to check into the track coach. He's awfully close to Shelley. Coach Tim Hickey spent a lot of time with the girls on the track team, both together as a group and individually. So was that because he was a predator or was that because he genuinely cared about these girls and their future? Police went to Coach Hickey and he seemed to be absolutely in shambles over Shelley's disappearance. He told them about how Shelley was not just the star athlete. She was the glue that held the team together.
Wow.
The girl that they all looked up to. And he did have a close relationship with Shelley. She would confide in him about problems she had at home or fighting with her parents. And she really didn't like being at home. She would talk to him about stuff like that. You know, teenage stuff. But after getting in touch with the group of friends that Coach Hickey said he was with the night of February 16th, police were confident that he wasn't involved in any way. So the boyfriend was cleared rather quickly. The best friend was cleared rather quickly, and now the track coach is cleared and leads are drying up.
Yeah.
So I bet they must have felt hopeless at this time. All the obvious people, you know, people. Yeah. That is until something very interesting happened that turned the whole case upside down.
Do tell.
Andrea, Shelly's best friend, remember, she lives directly across the street from Shelly. Well, Andrea peeked out the window one day and she saw Shelly's stepdad, Clarence, leave the house one day. She had to do a double take, okay? Because he was wearing her dad's black leather jacket.
Oh, no, he did not.
As in the very black leather jacket that Andrea lent Shelly the night she went missing.
Wow.
How could this be? How does he have that jacket?
Mm-hmm.
Did she make it home and he grabbed it, mistaking it for his own leather jacket?
No.
Mm-mm. Police also found this curious. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your best friend is missing and you look out to see that?
Yeah, you know, and you that's call the up last the police thing immediately. She was wearing.
Exactly. The police were like, yeah, we are also wondering about that. So they asked Clarence to come into the station.
What a dodo.
How did he get that jacket? That seems like the key to finding Shelly, because that means she made it home, right?
Seems like
Sounds it. Sounds like it. Clarence had a very innocent explanation. He said, I just saw it laying there. I grabbed it. I thought, this is a nice jacket. And I put it on and walked out the door.
Where was it laying, Clarence?
He thought, where'd this come from?
Yeah.
He's like, fits, looks
I'll
good.
I'll take it.
Just puts it on. He didn't see the big deal. Like, he was like, yeah, I don't know. He didn't know where it came from. So he didn't see what the big deal was. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Shelly was wearing that jacket the night she went missing. Did you see her? Did she come home at all? He's like, I didn't see her at all. Didn't see her then. Haven't seen her since. Clarence said he got up about 3:15 that morning, the next morning, to begin delivering papers, which was what he did for work. And that checked out. So they felt like, we're not going to...
Where's his route?
I don't know that information. But they asked him flat out, did you have something to do with Shelly's disappearance, or do you know where she is? And he just said no.
Okay.
He really didn't seem rattled by the questioning. He was very calm. So while this was a really curious finding, his possession of the jacket, I mean,
yeah, weird.
With nothing substantial to raise further suspicion, they had to let him go. I mean,
yeah,
they didn't have much.
Just because he's wearing a jacket doesn't mean he murdered somebody.
Right. And I'm sure Andrea's over there like, okay, but can my dad have his jacket back? But also like, wait, she came home?
Yeah. How did the jacket get to the house?
How did she get home? She was supposed to come back to my house. Like, I don't understand. Now, just because they let him go doesn't mean they'd forgotten about this whole thing. They sure as heck didn't. And within weeks of no new information having come and gone, they got a little desperate. They actually had a psychic come into Shelly's home.
Oh.
The psychic came in. She's touching walls and holding pictures of Shelly. And she asked Vivian, can I go in Shelly's room? And she's like, sure. The psychic went into Shelly's room and laid down on the bed and suddenly grabbed Vivian's arm and said, Shelly's in a cold place.
Oh.
And Vivian lost it.
Oh.
She was like, get out. Oh. Get out! Get out! And she just started screaming and the police were like, okay, you need to go now. Like, and
oh,
they were probably
wow.
like, see, this is why we don't do this stuff.
Yeah.
We've only right. upset the mother. This nothing has come of this. Like, silly us, but we tried, you know? On February 20th, 1993, Shelly's friends and family had come together to honor her, keep her name out there. They organized this walk for everyone, but nobody could have imagined that a day meant to bring people together full of hope and love for Shelly would turn so bleak. A man walking his dog, it's always a man walking his dog, isn't it? Stumbled upon a gruesome sight in a secluded area of Fairmont Park. It was a bloody tarp.
Oh, no.
With what appeared to be a body underneath. It was a young black female, and she'd been shot several times.
Shot?
Yeah. The body was viewed by Vivian, her mother, and determined to be her daughter, Shelly Turner. Everybody was stunned. I mean, They couldn't believe someone so full of life and promise was now gone forever. Her best friend, Andrea, could not wrap her mind around the fact that she was never going to see her again.
Yeah.
Someone who was like her older sister and someone who had taught her what a true, unwavering friendship really was. She and the community shared the same nagging thought, like, who could have done this? She was so loved. Like, she didn't have an enemy. Who would have done this? As everyone gathered to honor Shelley at her funeral, the grief was palpable. When I say everyone, I mean everyone and their grandma came to that funeral. Aww. People who didn't even know her personally, like, but were supporting other people who did.
Right.
Even the opposing track teams came out, and all the coaches came out to support her in honor of her. Some close to the family became a little side-eye, though, at someone at the funeral.
Okay.
Who was acting a bit strange.
Do tell.
We can never really know how we might act when a loved one turns up murdered, but the person who was supposed to be mourning the most was smiling and waving and socializing with everyone.
Oh.
Shelley's mother, Vivian.
Shut up. I knew you were going to say that.
That didn't sit right with anyone who really knew the family. It just didn't seem like the mother of a murdered girl would be chipper and, you know, smiling and laughing and cutting
up. Like it's a social event.
Exactly. Now, at this time, rumors began to swirl because people didn't feel this was right. I mean, everyone around town got wind of this odd behavior. Even if they didn't go to that funeral, they got wind of it somehow. And they're like, how am I over here crying? I don't even know this girl. She lives down the street. I don't know her personally, and I'm so affected by this. But her mother seems to be elated somehow. Now, Vivian also got wind of these rumors, and she was pissed.
Well.
And I can understand. I mean, I would hate to be accused of that. But she went on Mary Mason, who was a radio talk show host back then, to talk more about Shelley after she was found and beg for more tips to come in. You know, she's just still trying to get more information. Now, the interview took a bit of an eerie turn when Vivian began to talk about how Shelley was found.
Okay.
By police. She explained how Shelley's hand was up by her face.
Oh.
And how her teeth were glistening in the moonlight.
What?
First of all.
Police, like it's a fairy tale? Like.
It's just glistening. Strange.
Yeah.
Like that's weird. The police never told her how Shelley was found. Like specifics about her hand being up by her face and her teeth glistening in the moonlight. She was found during the day.
What in the...
She was found during, like, the day. So, like, how would the moon be involved in that visual?
Mm-hmm.
So Mary Mason left that interview feeling really messed up. She was like, I feel some type of way about that.
Yeah, this is a little too eerie.
Yeah. So she was so disturbed that she called police.
Oh.
She's like, I'm going to let you hear this and...
You take it as you
right. And as I said before, police were like, yeah, we didn't tell her those details.
Wow.
About how she was found. So how does she know that? So they asked Vivian if she'd come in, answer some questions, and they actually asked her if she'd take a polygraph.
Okay.
And she agreed.
Wow. She thought she could finagle some stuff?
She thought, but she failed it.
Miserably?
She failed it.
Mm-hmm.
The police confronted Vivian about the polygraph results, and Vivian buried her head and started to cry.
Oh.
I did it, she said.
Mm-hmm. Why?
She said that she'd tell them how it happened that night. Vivian said that she'd been drinking the night of February 16th, and when Shelley came home after 2 a.m. the next morning, Vivian met her at the door. Girl, where you been?
Uh-oh.
There was an immediate argument, and Vivian said Shelley raised her hand to her. And she said that she was so mad at Shelley, she told her, get in the car. I'm taking you to the police station. I don't want you to live here anymore.
Ow.
So she retrieved a gun from underneath her mattress and her and Shelly began driving. She told police, "I did drive her to the station, but I didn't stop. I kept driving until we got to Fairmont Park. And I told her, 'You want to fight me, girl? Let's do it out here.'"
What?
So it was then that she led Shelly into Fairmont Park, a place she used to run all the time, a place she found peace and solace and refuge.
It makes me so mad.
Vivian walked her out to an isolated wooded area and shot her 6 times.
That's what I'm thinking. Like when you said shot 6 times, that's personal. She shot
her daughter
her own
6 times.
Yeah. Okay. But I need you to get to why. Like the real motive.
Well, after she was done confessing, she laughed.
Shut your mouth.
She laughed.
That's evil.
Evil. Vivian was arrested. Did I need to say that? But days later, Vivian recanted her statement and claimed she was coerced after hours of interrogation.
Oh, Lord.
The police were like, "I'm sorry, what?
Get out of here."
She's the one who, you know, agreed to come into the station, agreed to take the polygraph, and immediately confessed after she failed the polygraph. So the judge agreed with the state and said the confession stays. It's allowed. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much to talk about the trial. Vivian was very arrogant. She did testify in her own defense. She kept saying contradictory things, but the jury didn't like her just like we don't like her.
Okay.
They deliberated for about 6 hours, and she was found guilty of third-degree murder because the jury couldn't believe that a mother would kill their daughter without having been intoxicated. That was their point of contention.
Hmm.
That was their hang-up. Vivian got 10 to 20 years.
No. Yeah. She killed her daughter.
Yeah.
If you can kill your daughter, who else are you going to kill?
Yeah.
But why? Like, that's what I'm hung up on. Like, I think she was jealous of her.
Lena, you are so insightful because Shelly's mom did track in high school.
Oh,
but
see?
She sucked.
Uh-huh.
She sucked. Wow. She was jealous of Shelly. She was.
Shelly was going places.
She was going places. She was doing it. She's like, "I can take your negativity, plus take care of my sister, plus do good in school, plus be a star on the track team and have endless possibilities."
Right.
Shelly was about to graduate high school.
Wow.
She had the world at her feet. And her mom is Satan.
Yeah, she's
in a
evil
skin suit.
Oh my gosh. That's so terrible.
It is. I mean, the thing about her being intoxicated should have absolutely no bearing on the case whatsoever. First of all, she can't prove that she was intoxicated that night.
Right. But also the coach saying that Shelly didn't want to go home a lot.
Exactly.
Meaning
she hated her house. Yeah. She hated it. She hated being there. She only was there basically to make sure her sister was okay.
Well, and it could have been that her mom was a drunk. I mean, I don't know. Was she an
could
alcoholic?
Have been.
I don't know. But
the thing is like, I know in South Carolina, the law is that if you consume alcohol or drugs, you're just as responsible for your actions after you consume mind-altering substances, because you are consuming those mind-altering substances knowing how they will affect your body.
Exactly.
I don't know how it is in Pennsylvania, but clearly they don't have a law like this that protects someone or, you know, that holds people accountable.
Yeah.
So.
That's so disgusting.
It is disgusting. This poor girl. Her own mother.
Yeah.
Unfathomable.
Well, I say let's strive to be more like Shelly.
I say that
motivated,
too.
Driven.
No matter how crappy your life may be.
Yeah.
You can always move forward.
Yeah.
That was her attitude. I'm going to move forward. She had a new guy in her life she was really excited about.
Well, let's be like that.
Shelly, you precious little angel.
Oh, I can't wait to see her picture and see how beautiful she is. She's
so cute.
Aww.
She is just the cutest. So, well,
thank you for telling her story.
Rest in peace, Shelly.
Yes. Well, this was great, I think. No?
No, this was terrible.
It was terrible.
But let's do it again.
We'll do it again.
Okay, we'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast, or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.